The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He is now a college football coach. Put some respect on his name. It's Bill Belichick taking the UNC job. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Flowery Branch. We're going to talk with Coach coming up here in less than about 10 minutes. So stay tuned as we'll talk to Raheem Morris. We have to find a way to win on Monday night. I'm not saying that just for emphasis. I'm just saying, like, we can't continue this process of losing the way we've lost. We'll get all the answers for you guys. Make sure you're here. And then A.J. Terrell's going to stop.
Well, we might not get the answers, but you will get the questions.
We will get the questions. Hey. I think we're going to get answers.
Right.
You know why? Mike, because these situations don't happen that frequently, and I think Ra, and I'll even say this to him, and I think he knows. He knows that fans want the truth.
Right.
Like, I think you, when you're losing like we are, the way we've lost, and our quarterback has played the way he has, we deserve answers. Like, whether they're good or bad or you agree with it, we deserve answers. So I think we'll get some. But to your point, like, is he going to be as adamant as maybe you are in asking the question? Probably not.
Hey, real quick, speaking of questions, big announcement tomorrow, about 10:30, you said, on the radio. Do I need to get my old bartending job back in Washington when we're up in D.C.?
Well, if you get a text tomorrow, maybe.
No, when you hear big announcements at radio stations, it's a 50-50 proposition. We will be gainfully employed this time tomorrow.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but here's the difference, though. They don't tell you when the big announcement happens.
That's true. That's
to
true.
Announce the big announcement.
That's true. Usually it's like, remember Squidbilly? Says we got to be at the office tomorrow at 10:30, mandatory meeting. What's that mean? You go, well, we're all getting fired. Well, I have a contract. You're getting fired.
They don't tell us to tell you there's a big announcement if that was
so. There's a big announcement coming up at 10:30 tomorrow, right here on 92.9 The Game. So get that as well.
This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Let's hear Bill Belichick as we continue this process of hearing from him. He spoke to the media today, and again, it's just a big story, guys. I mean, like, I get it. Georgia right now is waiting to find out who they're going to play. The college football playoff hasn't started. Bowl games haven't started quite yet. We know what we got going on right now with our Falcons. This Belichick story is huge. And it's huge on so many levels just because, again, you've got the greatest college football, the greatest NFL coach in the history of the game deciding I'm going to go coach college in a different world and atmosphere than it's ever been. College football's changed not just in the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
It's changed tremendously, even in the last year. So Belichick was asked, Mike, about the 400-page
manifesto.
Yes.
Or the mission statement that was rumored, I believe, leaked by a booster who wasn't really liking this idea. My spidey sense would tell me that.
Wanted people to know?
Right.
So it was a 400-page document prepared for the UNC job. Belichick was asked this question, and here's what he said about it.
Yeah, I mean, don't believe everything you read in the papers, all right? I have no idea where that came from. I don't have a 400-page document. I mean, and to think I would just go out and hand it, I mean, come on, really.
It is kind of funny. money.
He says there was nothing remotely close to that.
Well,
it is. I mean, no, but I, just real quick, for guys who didn't follow my drift previously, when something goes down like this, information leaks out from people who are either pro or against. And I would think, and you've seen this at Auburn, as soon as they announced Harsin, there was people already crapping on that move, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So I just think somebody who didn't want this put this out there to say, he's got 400 pages of freaking demands. This is insane. So that's where it came from.
But I love, like, see, this is the part where Bill fools you.
Right.
Belichick, guys, he's 72. He ain't changing. His moods.
Right.
The way he does things. But what has happened, Mike, is you've watched him on TV for the last eight months, and you're kind of like, well, he ain't bad. I like Village A. He's okay. Yeah. This is where he fools
you. It's not exactly he's Henny Youngman. I mean, he's doing the best he can under the circumstances.
But even with guys that know him have now come out and said, Coach was like, hey, Coach, how you liking the TV thing? And he was like, eh. So it was a facade. Mm-hmm. He's on there. He's smiling. That's not Bill Belichick. And my point is, when he answers this question, this is what I'm getting to. Like, you like his answer. We're laughing because that seems like a cool side of Belichick that we have. I've got this document. I just hand it out. Yeah. No, man. Like, it makes sense. And if he is trying, if you're trying to hire Belichick, you would think, or at least I would, Mike, if we were in charge, pick the team. Belichick comes in. I want to pick his brain. I don't want him to hand me some damn document. I want him to tell me exactly, here's where we're at. What do we need to do? I don't want to read 400 pages.
No. Right? Again, I think just like, you know, when a guy's coming for an NFL interview, you have your talking points, you know, you have your PowerPoint, right, and you do that. I just think, you know, the perception of Belichick, we've got a bunch of guys that we know intimately that were on that staff that tell you stuff behind the scenes that are really funny. And it's just like any other workplace and a locker room environment, a guy's guy. It's just the facade and the way he presents it. This is the way I present myself. You know, I'm robotic. I'm not going to let you in. And that's what alienated the New England papers. And I'm sure they're all laughing their butts off at this proposition now.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, the one thing that does keep coming up, though, is the weird relationship with him and Tom Brady. And Tom Brady talked about that on Fox last weekend. You know, it's almost like as they got more and more successful, Belichick, it's almost like if you were going to be like a pocket psychologist, it almost looks like Belichick resented the fact that people attributed it to, because you wouldn't have this without Brady. And it just continued as the deeper they went. So it's almost like he just, and at the end, was ready just to discard him. Remember, he drafted Garoppolo, and Brady has to go to Kraft and say, trade him.
Yep.
Get him out of here. Why are you bringing a guy in to challenge me?
I agree. And it is weird. It's what's even, I think, what's crazy is usually when those things happen, Mike, you don't have success. It fades. It never really did. And I think that speaks to the professionalism of Tom being able to handle that situation. But you're right. I think there was some ego stuff going on there. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got to get to an NFL blitz. The moral of the story is don't believe that he handed out a 400-page document to UNC. That is what Belichick is saying.
So is it 40 pages?
Maybe. Hey, Roger Goodell, what about 18 games, Mike? I mean,
he says, there. It's next.
Well, he says they're doing analysis, but there are no plans to move to 18 games. Listen to this real quick.
Right, we are doing analysis, I would say, but we are not formalizing any plans at this point. You know, we learned something when we went from 16 to 17. If we do go to 18, I'm sure we'll learn something, but hopefully some of the learnings from the last time will help us.
Stop lying.
Mean, again, that's a lie. Analysis. What's there to analyze? You come up with a second bye week, you have to expand the roster to 60 guys, and the owners don't want to pay for it. That's it. The players' union is going to say, you got to give us another week off, and oh, by the way, we need more guys. And the NFL owner's going to say, no, we're not going to give you that money, even though they're printing money. It's ridiculous. That's why I can't stand him, because he is like he's a stooge, a front for the owners, and he does a very nice job because the league is the most successful league on the planet. But don't give me that. No, we're gonna analyze. Analyze. Yeah. You'll make more money. The networks will throw more money at you. Every contract gets bigger, and you make more loot. But you don't want to transfer that to the players because you need to have another bye week and maybe expand the roster.
Totally agree. They are going to do it, guys. It's only a matter of when, not if. Meanwhile, tonight we get Thursday Night Football. Kyle Shanahan, Mike, talking about trying to get Debo the ball more. Listen, 49ers are banged up. They got a lot of issues.
Guerrero's going to play, right?
Who's that?
Guerrero's going to play? I think he's going to have the running back, the backup running back?
Oh, gotcha. Yes, because they are banged up in the running back position as well. I also think, Mike, though, if the 49ers lose, and it's a very good chance that they could tonight, but they are favored at home against the Rams, you start to just say, okay, this ain't our year, because McCaffrey, the injuries, and
Guerrero is the guy's name. Guerrero is the backup. Isaac Guerrero.
Trent Williams is not going to play. They've got a lot of things going on, but he says he wants to try to get the ball to Debo a little bit more.
Debo and I talk every day, so I mean, I understand Debo saying that. Debo wants to help us out, and the only way he helps us out is getting the ball more, and we'd like to get it to him more, and we'll continue to work at that.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens tonight. By the way, if their season goes down the tubes, what are you paying Brock Purdy? Because he's shown you now that he can't really carry a team. Now, I get it. All these major injuries to major parts of the team, I understand. Bosa, everybody, it seems like. But this is a decision they're going to have to make. And I'm just saying, if the season starts to fade here and they are not a Super Bowl caliber team right now, they're just not. You got to look at this.
Well, 15 touchdowns, 8 picks. He's on pace for over 4,000. You know, you look at the games you lost. I mean, not having McCaffrey for half the season, that's still a huge weapon.
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We know, especially how Shanahan, you feel you can plug almost any running back in, but they've had a lot of injuries. You know, the games that they've lost, you know, it's not like they're getting – the defense is still doing its job. Their worst loss was the one in the snow to Buffalo, the 35-10.
Yeah.
So the defense, the core of it is still doing its job. So, you know, that's – I know you've never really been sold on Purdy.
No. No, and not because he's not good. He is the word we use a lot with guys. He's serviceable.
He's a game manager. He's the ultimate. No, I get it. Everybody uses a system. Everybody has a system. But he's just that guy.
No, he's just that. And when you say, well, then where is he at? Well, he's not in the Lamar and the Josh Allen and the Mahomes class of quarterbacks.
Right. I mean, Matthew Stafford has found a new, like a completely new energy this year. When we thought, well, he's probably next year, probably let him go. Matthew Stafford is doing some great stuff right now. 19 touchdowns, 7 picks. You know, Sam Darnold's obviously having a monster year. So, I mean, you know, Jared Goff. Yeah, you're right. He's just not in that tier. Not this year.
Let's hear from A.J. Brown, man, because he wants to make sure everybody knows that him and Jalen Hurts are cool.
BG was just being BG. He's emotional. In that case, he just misspoke. You know, me and Jalen are good. Everybody loves BG. You know, he's speaking from the heart. You know, he's just giving his perception or something from the outside.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
He's giving this perception from – look, I don't know if they're cool or not. This is what I do know. Whatever needs to be said – needed to be said.
It needed to be said.
Needs to be said to each other, and they need to realize where they are. Mike, they are in a special spot. You've won 9 in a row. You get the Steelers this weekend. Win or lose, you're still vying for the NFC top spot. This is a team that can win the Super Bowl, and you just don't take that for granted. We know – you don't take that for granted when you're in this spot. AJ, whatever you need to do, you need to say it to Jalen like that. And then Nick Sirianni was asked about it, and here's what he said. This is the head coach of the Eagles.
Let's just talk about Jalen and AJ. I see them working to get better. I see them working to get better together. I know there was assumptions of things, and we get how that goes, but I can only go on my personal experience of how these guys interact every single day, and these guys are so locked in and focused to getting better and getting better together, so they're on the same page to go and accomplish the things we want to accomplish, and I witness that every single day.
All right. I mean, hits his head on the chopping block. They went and got better assistance after he had his good assistants leave to take head coaching jobs. I just thought, you know, A.J. Brown kind of walked it back himself to say he was more about the offensive.
Yes.
Than specifically. But I love what, if you missed it yesterday, it was Stink was on, Mark Schlereth was on with Andy Randy and was talking about, you know, the vertical or the lack of vertical passing. It's almost like Jalen Hurts has been cowed a little bit to not kind of try to make the riskier throw and you know, the home run ball.
I agree.
More got to be a part of it. Hey, real quick, I got some, coming up later in Guy Talk, I got some of the fantasy busts this year. Kyler Murray's got like some incredible money. We're just talking about when I was looking at the numbers you mentioned, Brock Purdy. Kyler Murray's having a horrible year. Marvin Harrison Jr. is not doing anything by any remotely what we thought he would have as a first year.
There is no connection there as we thought it would be. NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Stay right there. Coach Roz on the way. Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. Coach Raheem Morris is here with us, guys, as he joins us each and every week. Normally on Wednesdays, but we pushed it, obviously, today because we play on Monday Night Football.
Today is Wednesday in my book.
Well, I know. It's a work day, right? It's Thursday up here at Flowery. Coach, I said this when I came up here, and I just want to talk about the mood. I think it's important to shape this for our audience and for Falcon fans. Got out the car, was walking up. You guys had the holiday music on. Guys are jovial. There is no hanging our heads up here, and I want to say that because everybody right now, and you know, four losses, man, what's going on? What are we doing? And I only say that to say we are, like, moving up here. Like, the vibe is not what people think it is.
You got to have the don't blink mentality, right? It's like things are going to happen. You know, tough times are going to come, and tough times are going to be there, but only tough people last, right? So, like, you need these scars, these lessons, and then you got to find a way to get out of them, right? And, like, that requires a certain amount of mental toughness that you expect your players to have, you expect your coaches to have, and you expect your organization to have. And at some point, you get that sort of hardened by these things, and you find ways to win, and you find ways to go out there and get it done. And, like, it's not going to get done by pouting. It's not going to get done by turning each other. It's not going to get done by pointing fingers. You know, our job is to identify problems and then to go fix them. And, like, we got to go fix some things right now. It's clear. And I think that's the message. And I think the guys take that to heart. And I really know the way they work, the energy that they provide, and how they come to the classroom and onto the field every single day is what you need. It's the same guys that got you to the record that you wanted. And when things go the other way, those things can't turn. You find out what you need to change. You find out what you need to do. And you go out there and execute those things.
I know, as we said last time, I know you've had a chance to answer some of these questions. Our first chance for our audience to hear it. Because Cousins, you said, hey, he got us at 6-3. But you could also argue Cousins has got us to where we're at 6-7.
Yes.
And we asked you last week, how do you help him? How does Zach help him? Is there ever a point, and I know you don't deal in hypotheticals, but fans, and I've been saying it, don't you give Penix a shot? Because it's almost like an injury. Whatever's wrong with Cousins, if it's between the ears or it's confidence, it's like an injury to a knee or an arm. Let somebody else get in there and take a stab at it.
You don't want to be that organization, right? We've seen that before, right? We've got numerous amount of examples when quarterbacks have gotten thrown out there and been an up and down roller coaster organization, right? You want to remain steadfast and find ways to win, right? You started off with a plan. We have a plan. I love the plan. The plan is where we're at, right? Penix is our future, and he is a good looking future. He is bright, because I can understand the excitement behind everybody and wanting to do those things. But, like, Kurt, we said, is out right now, and he's out right now to figure us out how to get through the season and win football games and get us in the playoffs. And you can't forget the fact that you're still right here in the hunt. Where you're at and what you're doing. Is he in a slump? Have we had bad games? No doubt. But that's the part of the National Football League, right? If you just go up and down and change quarterbacks every 3 weeks, every 4 weeks, you could be some of the organizations you don't want to be. And that's not what we're necessarily interested in being. You know, I believe, you know, Joe Burrow lost a couple games out here, but went out and balled out, right, and went bananas. And, like, I think we got to go out there and we got to find a way to rally around Kurt. We got to get around Kurt. We got to find ways to get it better. And I got a lot of confidence that he's going to get it better. And I got a lot of confidence in the guys that's around him that's going to play a lot better and do some different things as well.
Is there ever a position? I mean, again, I know we're talking about the Raiders and hopefully things go right on Monday. But is there a line in your mind that if I throws a couple of picks, I've got to put Penix in there. So I got to give us a spark.
You know, the line in my mind is to stop from throwing the interceptions. You know, let's eliminate the turnovers, right? I mean, we're talking about a guy who went out and threw for 344 yards last week. He had two turnovers that he threw. He threw one interception that he once back. The other one he left out there a little bit too much later in the game that he was throwing to Cal. And the other turnovers was us on special teams, and really us on two on special teams, because that other one I counted as a turnover was from the turnover. It's from the field goal block, right? And you give him the ball
total,
back.
Total of three, right?
So a total of four in my mind. Okay. When you give him that ball back right there after kicking the field goal and you get the short field and a chance to score, that's a total of four turnovers, really, when you think about it. So it's like, he cut it down from the week before. Are they acceptable? No, none of them are acceptable. But at the end of the day, is the Falcons are, we are undefeated when we win a turnover battle. And it's up to us to go get some, and it's up to stop giving them back to them.
To be quite frank, what the hey happened to our secondary last week, Coach?
We lost our mind. No, we had a I can walk you through them kind of like I walked everybody through. I forget the exact order right now, but I talked to them how they hit me. The one play, we get great pass rush. We get a ball flood up in the air, underthrown ball, and the receiver just flat out made a better adjustment than our defensive backs. He caught it, and he ran in the end zone. And you say, okay, there's the anomaly. Later on, we're coming through. We got an unblocked player on a sack, and Sam Darnold made a miss. stepped up in the pocket. The plaster rules broke down in the back end because you see people running open. Whenever that stuff happens, it goes on too long, you leave coverage. And Sam Darnold did a great job of looking down the field and finding a streaking, wide-open Jefferson because we left the, we vacated the middle of the field. And those things can't happen and are not supposed to happen. And then we got beat on 2 one-on-one balls on the outside with Mike and Clark. And those two balls were huge balls. One was a pass interference, one was a catch to get them deep in their territory. And really was the story of the day, right? The explosive plays along with the turnovers and the penalties, which been uncharacteristic off the back, right? We've been one of the least penalized teams in the National Football League. And for us to get 12 on one day was asinine. We've been the guys that the one thing we've done really well on defense is limit explosions, and that day they got really explosive, and we couldn't keep up. And then the add-on was the turnovers, and you can't win football games like that. And to think it was 21-21 in the fourth quarter, going into the fourth quarter with those guys scoring, and then disaster to strike with the turnover, give them a quick score. Next thing you know, you're in 4 minute offense, 4 minute defense, and they won the football game. But we got to find ways to win those games. And it's hard to say. Like, this is why I say stats are for losers, right? When you outstat your opponent and lose football games.
And we have.
We've done it multiple times this year.
Nine sacks the last two games.
We've done it multiple times this year. And, like, those are things you got to stop and you got to eliminate.
We're live inside the Ticketmaster Studios at Flowery Branch with Coach Raheem Morris. I've never seen holding on a field goal from the defense. That was, I know I don't get you in trouble with the refs. That's a new one for me, but that was, I believe it there. The other thing is, was it a byproduct of being aggressive? We saw it work against the Chargers, but the Vikings just have so many more weapons. So if you are going to be more aggressive, would your approach that there's more likely to get burned? Would you get more skill position guys out there?
No, we got beat on the two, and you can live with the two that I told you that you got beat on. The ones you can't live with is the ones where the explosive on the plaster play, and the one ball I felt like you could have picked off that we didn't track.
When you say plaster, Coach, what are you saying? Because our listener, what's that mean?
No problem. It's just when you have deep defense going,
okay,
and the coverage breaks down, and after the quarterback becomes a scrambler. So whether he leaves the pocket or steps up and out of the pocket, the reason the pass rush is so critical, we missed a wide-open sack on an unblocked player. He steps up and out. The receivers start to scramble with their quarterback.
Guys are running now, with their receivers.
Yes, when you're in zone, it immediately has to turn into man. And those are called plaster rules. And what do you plaster? You know, our middle field safety jumped the crosser. Jefferson was deep, back by himself, left alone. He found him, got it to him, and it looked awful. You know, and that was the domino effect right there, right?
And it was.
It went downhill, right? The worst case scenario right there is he should have stepped out of that thing, completed a check down, or scrambled. And you live to fight another day. But to have a 67-yard explosive, that can't happen.
I want to follow up with Mike because it continues to be a topic of conversation, and you know this, and I know you're tired of answering it.
No, not really.
Okay, great, because we're going to continue to ask you.
Yeah.
Nationally, I do a lot of stuff, and people keep asking me, why is Raheem not hearing everybody else? Meaning everybody, and I don't know if you're aware, around the country is saying, what is Atlanta doing? Why isn't Coach doing this? Why is he not making – you've got a guy. Like, that is what's happening, that noise you talk about out there, and it's rapid. I mean, like, everybody's talking about it. And I said, look, I'll ask him this question because sometimes coaches say, oh, I don't hear that stuff. Do you hear it?
You always hear it. I mean, I'm not that guy.
Okay.
Right? But it's the same noise that was wondering why you drafted him in the first place. Right? And when you go draft this guy, you have a plan for him, right? And we've seen, like I said, we've seen quarterbacks go in too early. We've seen quarterbacks get ruined. We've seen, and I'm not saying that's going to happen to Mike, but we do have a guy. Like, we have a guy. We have a guy that's played in the National Football League for years and been successful. And not to mention, is the third leading passer in the National Football League in the season. We're not talking about over the course of this break. In the season, this guy's led the league in passing, and he's number three. And he's got to come out of slop and not turn the football over and win football games for us. You know, Michael Tom will come. You know, he's our future. He's the guy we love. He's the guy we drafted for all the great reasons. He's done nothing but the right stuff since he's been here. He's been an absolute professional and a pro. And he hears the same stuff. And he does nothing but support Kurt. He supports his teammates. He comes to work. He goes to work every single day. And I think that's our job.
It's just like, you know, we were saying earlier, if you approach it, and you're not approaching it, like if it's an injury, like if something happens to a lineman, Storm Norton's the next guy up. Mm-hmm. If Cousins can't seem to generate offense and you go 4 weeks without a passing touchdown, it just seems like that's why would you ever get to us, hey, you get with Zach Robinson, let's put a package in, you know, put a package in for Penix, you know, or is that just disrupt Cousins' vibe and then that's that, you don't want to open that Pandora's box?
Yeah. Mike's not like the Justin Fields package kind of
guy.
He's
a drop back passer. Thing.
Mike's a drop back passer. So that would be a different deal, you know, like if we had somebody that was the zone read runner or something like that. That's a completely different ordeal. You know, that would be not what we drafted. That would be not what our guy is. Our guy is a franchise quarterback that's going to step into the position at some point and lead us to where he needs to lead us.
It is Coach Raheem Morris with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios.
Coach, let's shift gears and talk about these Raiders. And look, I'm adamant because last week I joked with you like, it's a big game. You said, aren't they all big? And I said, no, this is a big one. Okay, so this is a big one, Coach.
This is now the biggest game of the year.
It's playoff ball.
It is. Like right now, it's like, and we know it's not win or go home, but it feels like that.
100%. Like, I got a bad mic. Hold on.
Yep.
Was it me?
I don't know.
We live too.
You got it.
They're in trouble, man. They're scrambling. Hey, but it is a playoff type mentality. It's a playoff type atmosphere.
Okay.
And like legitimately, like you know that you don't lose and you go home. But the thing about it is you gotta have that type of urgency. And realistically, the reason people say they're all big games because you take that type of urgency to all of them. But as you get closer and closer to down the stretch, obviously the numbers matter and the wins matter and the losses matter and it's a matter of getting in the playoffs or not. And like it's a big game. Embrace that.
Right. It is. And real quick, I know, you know, I heard you say this today, but I want our audience to hear it because I kind of laughed. Do you watch the scoreboard at these games? Because last week, right, we're in Minnesota. We go to these games. We're at the games. Scores pop up. Fans react. Oh, my fantasy team. They're tripping about these guys. Do you see that stuff? And are you watching what the Bucks or anybody else is doing as we're competing against these guys?
Like I said earlier, of course you see it. You can't help but see it in these stadiums. These stadiums are so big and beautiful and got graphics everywhere. And most of the time you're looking up to see situational ball and your team stats and things popping up, all kinds of stuff pop up, but it's not what you're looking for. You know, like I said earlier, you don't like to wish anything on anybody else. You like to go handle your business yourself.
I know you got to get back to work real quick. We've hit on 75% of our fourth down attempts. I talked about being in Tampa, and the Bucs says, oh, they're going to try to draw us. I know my coach goes for it. I didn't understand why when they give you that 5-yard penalty, it was tie game, 7-7. We're on the 47, and we take a delay game and punt, and we only net 33 yards. I thought that fourth and two, you're going to go for it because you know that it's going to be rock and sock with Minnesota. You got to
switch. Which one are you on? Are you on the one that when we took the penalty and moved back?
Yeah, you took the
So we went for it. We went for it earlier, and we didn't get it on a fourth and five, right? Not that one.
It put him in a fourth and two. You took the delay, becomes a fourth and seven. Pinion, punts, touchback, net 33 yards.
Yes. You know, you didn't want to get a touchback. You know, try to put him back deep, try to get the offense, get to get the ball back there again quickly and get a thing flip. You know, like you got to play with the aggressive mindset, and we are going to continue to do that. That's kind of how we've been throughout the year, and it's got to be a field thing. But that was a plan to get those guys pinned back and knocked back and get the chance the defense to go out there and get a stop and maybe get the ball back. And, you know, I know it's hard to forget. I know it's hard to remember, but we were playing really good defense up until that point.
Well, that's the thing. You got a three and out.
That's how the explosive happened.
You got a pick, and then you got a three and out. That's why I figured you got momentum. That's why I thought you were going to go for
it. Well, I had the momentum when it was 7-0, and we got the ball back right at the three and out. That's what we went for there, just to jump all over them.
So that's just your gut.
And we didn't get it. It's not just my gut. It's analytics. It's gut. It's four down territory. There's a bunch of things that go into play with that. And you got to make the decision based on that.
By the way, let's keep taking the ball. I mean, listen, week one we took, or 2 weeks ago we took it. Don't get the field goal. Last week we take it, we punch it in. I mean, I know you talked to us about this a few weeks ago, and you're like, I'm considering it. And then I'll be damned. The last 2 weeks, you're like, we're going. So I'm with you. Let's go get this momentum. Coach, I do want to ask you before you leave, Coach Raheem Morris, you and Nicole named the 2025 Atlanta American Heart Association co-chairs.
Nice. Yes.
Talk to us about this, Coach, and why you got involved and why you guys are involved with this.
I talk about this so much. I don't know if I talked to you guys or not.
No.
Or whatever. But, you know, a couple years ago when I was a Ram coach and I was the defense coordinator there, we had a bye week and went to a vacation, obviously, oddly enough, in Vegas.
Okay.
So we went to Vegas and we're staying at the Wynn and you know, plan is to go see the Blue Man Group. We're going to go see Cirque du Soleil. We're going to go see all the cool Vegas things, right? And so I have all my kids out there. My oldest daughter flies in separately from us. So I go pick up from the airport. I get a chance to pick up from the airport. I go back to the hotel. I ask her if she wants to go out and start our day, or does she want to go hang out with her brother and sister at the pool? And she said, let's go hang out and get her tan on, Daddy.
For sure.
Right, right.
So I take it down to the pool. I'm sitting there, and I sit down in my chair, and I hear a scream. And I walk to the pool, and there's a 4-year-old child on the ground. He's blue. He's unconscious. He has no air. At the time, I didn't know, but it was his father who dropped him right in front of the lifeguard. Just 3 weeks prior, fortunately, because of the head trainer of the Los Angeles Ram, Reggie Scott, had kind of encouraged us to take a CPR class, an AED course, and I knew what to do. And I immediately looked at the lifeguard and asked her what the AED machine was. She said the front desk. I sprinted to the pool. You know what a Vegas pool looks like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a long run.
Ran to the front desk, got the AED machine. Probably should have got a charge for yelling at the lady so hard at the desk.
Right.
Grabbed the AED machine out of her hand, sprinted back to the pool. And when I got back, there was a doctor on site. There was the lifeguard on site. Opened up the AED machine. Was able to put the paddles on them. The doctor was talking. The only thing I could hear, and amongst the ruckus of the screaming and the oohs and ahs at a Vegas pool, was the doctor talking about breaths and the finger swipe and just he was talking all the doctor stuff. And it was something with the breathing, the aspiration. Right. I could hear him talking. He was talking to me calmly. And it felt like hours, but it probably was minutes. The doctors roll in, the paramedics come, we move the chairs. When we picked them up to put them on the gurney, he coughed. He started to cry, and it was a sigh of absolute unbelievable belief. And I thought that day, the only reason I knew to go run and get an AED machine was because of that training I did just a couple weeks ago. And I thought that was pretty special, and I thought that was something that we need to push. And I think the whole thought of it for my wife and I was to be able to push AED machines like fire extinguishers and to have these things available and ready for anybody to use them at all times. And that then allowed our relationship to grow. That was my cause, my cleats this year. That would be auctioned off. That has been a part of meeting DeMar Hamlin and being able to be a part of his events because shortly before he had a deal. And also with Shaq Barrett and losing his daughter and the drowning. And being a part of that has really been special and near and dear. Young Wyatt still keeping contact with those guys, and I'm able to see him. We brought him to the Rams camp and do a bunch of things with those guys. And like it was huge, and it was life changing for my children and me. Like my children were there watching, and my children were there hanging with Wyatt's brother and sister while we had to entertain the family. While the mother and mom and dad had to take young Wyatt to the hospital, we watched their kids. And so,
and like, you didn't know these folks
from
nothing,
from Adam. Not at all. And you know, I'm walking around Vegas with four or five babies.
Wow.
And you know, only two are mine, three are mine.
Right?
But it was pretty.
That's pretty the adrenaline of that moment.
The adrenaline was unbelievable. I immediately went upstairs and called Reggie, and I still was like kind of sitting in my room just putting it all together.
Right.
Worst feeling in any game situation I've ever been in my life. But when it was going on, it was game day.
Yeah.
It was like calm, cool.
Right.
What did I learn? What did I remember? Go get an AED machine. Check this place for safety. And then go to work.
Human life at stake, and a child at that. There are no words. And first of all, there's not enough thank yous in the world from anybody. Because I think I even said to you at the time, if that was anybody's child, they would want somebody to come and say, I know what to do. So Coach Raheem Nicole, should I say, his wife, are the 2025 Atlanta American Heart Association Heartball Co-Chairs, and that is the reason why. So we wanted to share that story. Coach, before we let you go, Raiders, Monday night, what do we have to do? What do we got to do?
Win. Don't turn the ball over. Go out there and execute the things that we've been doing really well. We started rushing the passer well. We throw the pass. We've thrown it well all year. We played offense well all year. We run the ball out well all year. We got to go out there and play defense, go out there and play special teams the way we know how to do it, not turn the football over and win football games. You know, the formula for us is pretty simple. Win a turnover battle and you win. And that's what we've done when we've won, and we got to do that this week.
If he hits Pitts on that touchdown pass, that changes the whole complexion of the game. You happy with Pitts' effort?
You know, Pitts' effort on that play, it wasn't that. You know, it was kind of thrown aside.
But that was on Kirk. Kirk missed him.
And, you know, you like to have that stuff happen. You know, it's just you want to hit those plays. That's just it.
All right, boss.
Thank
Good
you,
luck
Coach.
In Vegas, man.
Let's go get a dub.
Let's go.
All right. That is Coach Raheem Morris. Great stuff there from him. Again, nobody's hanging their heads up here, man. We got to go handle some business. We got to take a break. Get caught back up here. Also, AJ Terrell's on the way. Stay there. We're live at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell. Want to remind our listeners that we, the station, will be making a significant announcement, station announcement on Friday morning, 10:20 a.m.
So it's going to be like country music?
Don't start that. 404-726-0929. Make sure you're listening.
You're going to be Cactus Carl and I'll be Bucky Bell?
No, they're just going to call me the Duke. The Duke. What did you think?
Hey, the Duke and Bucky with you, everybody. Here's some of that Waylon Jennings. What's that?
What'd you think about what Coach had to say?
I know you guys want an answer, and we tried three different ways to ask the question. And respectfully, it's the way you do it because we have a relationship, and we're going to be here next week, and we're going to be here hopefully beyond, and hopefully this team gets back on track. But he's just not moving off this guy. Now, look, if we lose this game to the Vegas Raiders, then we can have the conversation. Now the perception, Coach, is if you move on from the $100 million quarterback to the first-round pick, it makes the front office look like a bunch of knuckleheads.
Yeah.
And is that why you're not doing it? But now, I mean, you lose this game, brother, all bets are off. And I just – he's not coming off the position. Carl, talk about this. And I know there's an answer the listeners want, and you're just not going to get the answer you want.
Yeah, I said to Mike, he's answering the question. We don't like the answer. It's like when your mom tells you no, and you go, but why? And your mom says, because I said no.
Yeah, but.
And you're like, but I don't understand. Kevin and those guys are going, no. He's answering. What he's saying is, and hear him. We don't like it, but hear him. We have a plan. We're not coming off of that. And I'm not going to be, in his opinion, and what he said, this is him, I'm paraphrasing, one of the organizations, Mike, that changes quarterbacks 3 weeks in, then you go back to another guy.
Right. And that's what I told
you. There is a ripple effect that happens when you do these moves. And here's the other part of it. Everybody always says, well, you can always go back. No, you can't. No, you can't. Like, it's easy for us to sit here and say that. So he is adamant about, look, I know how frustrated you guys are, but the answer is no, we're not going to do it. And that's why I said, like, we got to move on, and I know it's hard, but to Mike's point, if we lose another game, and God forbid, and I'm knocking wood, that Kirk plays terrible again, then it becomes every week, this is the conversation. Right. What needs to happen is he's got to play really well, we need to win, so we can move on from this, because it just sounds to me, Mike, they're not going to do this.
Well, I will say this. I do think behind closed doors, and Terry and Raheem talking about this, if it continues to struggle, there will be a point. They will just say, look, Kirk Cousins has lost it, can't get it back, and we'll have to eat it and try to trade him in the offseason, and here we go. And we ran up the flagpole. It didn't fly. They're not, and again, they're not going to tell you that now. They might not even tell us that if it actually happens. But I do know that this team is struggling, yeah. And that's why I said to Coach Ra, I agree. We got to 6-3 because of Kurt. We got to 6-7 because of Kurt. You know, he's made as many mistakes as he's made good plays. The two NFC offensive players of the week have been trumped by 8 interceptions and 0 touchdowns. So here we go. You know, and the defensive stuff, we talked about it. I mean, it just basically, yes, a byproduct of the approach was the corners have got to be better. The corners were terrible. Defense just did not have, Carl, as he said, a bad day. They had about as bad a day as you can have, and he didn't run from it. And just try to explain why it happened.
No doubt. All right, we got a lot more to get to. AJ Terrell's on the way. Guys, we just got done with Coach Raheem Morris. You'll hear that again later in the show because he shared that incredible, touching story about him saving a young man's life and why him and his wife got involved with the Heart Association. But as far as the team and the game and what's in front of us, it's the playoffs right now. He's not lying about that. Like, it, if we don't win out, it's going to be an issue.
Yeah, the one thing, we'll come back, we'll talk more about it next. I didn't really understand or like the answer I got about the going for it, not going for it.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
All right, stay right there. It's Dukes and Bill.